Okay, our friends. So many stories have to do with the moon. There are a lot of really good fairy tale stories have to do with the moon, right? But there's true things that we know about the moon, too. And real life scientists and astronauts that know quite a bit about the moon. And so we thought, hey, you know what? Let's learn a little bit about it ourselves. Today's story is called If You Decide to Go to the Moon. It was written by Faith McNulty and it's illustrated by the great Stephen Kellogg. He's done a lot of illustrations. I really like his artwork. And it's read today by Mommy and
Goobagaba.
Goobagaba. What? What are you?
Goobagaba.
I don't think I... Does not compute. Oh, are you... You're a building. You are a building who says Goobagaba.
Goobagaba.
Wow. You never know who it's going to be here with Mommy. And today, I have a walking, talking building who's eating everything in sight. Well, try not to eat the moon while I read about it, okay? Promise? Okay, here we go. If you decide to go to the moon in your own rocket ship, read this book before you start. It will tell you how to get there and what to do after you land. The most important part tells you how to get home, which probably sounds like a good idea, right? Check the things you will need. A spacesuit, air tanks, books and games. Don't forget your diary and plenty of food. Peanut butter, apples, and cake will taste good in space. Water and juice are also important. To get to the moon, you will travel about 240,000 miles. A long trip, but rocket ships go fast. So if you average 3,750 miles per hour, you will get there in 2.5 days. Get aboard, close the latch, light the burners, and then you have to count down with me. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. There we go. 4, 3, 2, 1, blast off! I've got to make a rocket sound. Yeah. You shoot up, up, up into the sky, and as your ship rises through the clouds, your body is pressed against the seat. At first, you feel very heavy, but don't worry, this feeling will go away. Some G-force, right? For a few seconds, you'll fly through a mixture of clouds and air and dust that hangs over the earth. It's not very thick, only about 15 miles. And you will shoot right through that into space. That means you are leaving our atmosphere. Space is dark and empty. There's no air in space, no clouds, no rain, only a few specks of dust, some rocks called meteors, and some chunks of ice called comets. Now, both meteors and comets are pieces of stars that exploded long ago and have been flying around in space ever since. And if one hits you, it would be very bad. But space is so big, and you are so small, that a collision is unlikely. In the blackness of space, the stars shine like a million fireflies. The sun blazes with fiery light, and the moon, a mysterious moon, glows like a pearl in the black, black sky. Of course, you know that the moon has no light of its own. It glows in the light of the sun, right? Up here in space, you may feel very alone. Don't look back at the Earth. It could make you even lonelier. this is the time to play some cheerful music and eat a peanut butter sandwich and keep your eyes fixed on that shining moon and settle down for a very long ride. Relax, take off your seatbelt, and be prepared for a surprise because you are weightless in space. You'll feel amazingly light. You will float like a feather inside the cabin and bounce off the cabin walls, but you'll bounce very lightly and find it to be a lot of fun. Now, when you're thirsty, don't try to pour orange juice into a glass. With everything weightless, it would collect into floating liquid balls and become a orange juice blob. You can drink it out of a squeeze bottle instead. After supper and a squeeze of juice, it's time for bed. Tie yourself to your bunk so you won't float away and settle down for a good night's sleep. Of course, there is no night in space. You'll have to pretend. Mm-hmm. Try to have sweet dreams. When you wake, you'll be much closer to the moon. It will be big and round and very bright with dark patches that look like lakes or seas. Now, they were made billions of years ago when the moon was very hot and hot enough to melt stone. Now and then, melted stone spurted up through the crust and spread out on the surface like spilled soup. And when it cooled, it hardened into stone called lava. From Earth, these smooth, dark places look like oceans. Playing cards will help pass the time, but if you drop them, they will drift around the cabin like butterflies, and floating around to catch them feels like swimming in a dream. The first humans to go to the moon landed in the Sea of Tranquility. It is marked on your moon map, and it would be a good place to land, but you still have a long way to go. When you are tired, lie down and look at the stars. On Earth, you only see the stars that are above you. But up here, there are stars in every direction. And you might write in your diary, "I wonder how far space goes and where it ends." Did you know scientists haven't quite nailed that down yet? We don't know where the end of space is. Nobody does. It's just going and going and going. We've not seen what's past it because we can't find the end of it. At last, when you have read all your books and played all your games, you wake from a nap and you see the moon right there below you. You look down at an endless desert. Everything is all one color, silver gray. The ground is covered with rocks and round craters. Craters are holes made by meteors that have rained down on the moon through the ages. Some were huge and made deep holes hundreds of miles across. Of course, you steer clear of the rocky places. At last, you see a lava lake below, the Sea of Tranquility. Get ready to land. As you descend, your craft shivers and shakes. It settles softly. You feel a bump. You are on the moon. Your first look will be disappointing. All you will see through your porthole is a cloud of dust stirred up by your landing. Put on your spacesuit and your air tank while you wait for it to settle. Then open the hatch and jump out. You will land lightly. See, the moon is smaller than the Earth and has less gravity to pull you down. And do you remember what gravity is? It's a force of nature that holds you to the ground. It pulls down on you, right? Yeah. So if you are on the moon, right, there's less gravity. So you'd be like a frog who couldn't stop jumping, right? You would just bounce and bounce and bounce. It tells you. Let's keep going. If you weigh 60 pounds on Earth, you will only weigh 10 on the moon. Your first step will be difficult. You will rise in the air and leap forward like a kangaroo, but once you learn how, walking will be fun. Each step takes you 5 times as far as a step on Earth. Leaping over boulders and craters, you cover the ground with magical swiftness. The moonscape is strange, but it doesn't look dangerous. It reminds you of cake flour. You wish you could take off your suit and play in it. That might be fun, huh? But don't do it! The heat of the sun would burn you up because there's no air or water on the moon. There are no clouds to shield it from the heat of the sun or the cold of space. So anything touched by the sun is blistering hot, and anything in shadow is instantly cold. And without a spacesuit, you would either sizzle or freeze. Now, as you walk, you will notice that your boots don't crunch on the pebbles. If you take a hammer and hit a rock, there is no bang. It is impossible to make a noise on the moon. You want to know why? Because without air to carry the sound waves, you can't hear a bell ring. You can't hear a horn blow. You can't hear a whistle or a song on the moon. If you kick a pebble, it will bounce without a sound. As you keep walking, the silence and stillness are eerie. Nothing moves. The boulders and the hills have strange shapes. Some hills look like dinosaurs. Some boulders look like giant turtles or weird birds or a herd of cows. A heap of jagged rocks looks like a ruined castle. You feel as if you might be in a fairy tale. Or is it a dream? Now, your map tells you that the astronauts' camp is just over the next hill. As you climb, you wonder if things will look different on the other side. Will you find something green? Something alive? A meadow of moon grass? A herd of moon cows? Who all say, moon, moon. Do you think those things might be real? The answer is no. The hills stretch on and on to the horizon, where the rim of the moon meets the blackness of space. Everything on the moon is lifeless and still. To find the astronauts' camp, climb to the top of a boulder and use your binoculars to scan the distance. Look for a patch of color. The red, white, and blue kind. That's the flag that the astronauts left behind, and it will stand out against the gray dust. As you get close to the camp, you will see that everything the astronauts left behind is there. Strewn amidst the lunar dust, tools and equipment are scattered about. Their boot prints look fresh, as though they were made a moment ago, but there is no wind or rain for them to be worn away with. The astronauts left a message for anyone who visits the moon. You'll find it written on a plaque. Here, men from the planet Earth first set foot on the moon, July 1969. But the flag they planted isn't flying. The flagpole was blown over from the blast when the astronauts took off, and the flag is lying in the dust. You pick it up and push it deep into the sand. The flag is stiffened with wires so that it looks as though it is flying even though there's no wind. It is brave and a wonderful sight. It is a brave and wonderful sight and reminds you of the courage of the astronauts who brought it here. If astronauts ever return, they will find the flag flying once again and your footprints in the dust. By now, your air tank must be half empty. It's time to return to your ship. Your trail of footprints will lead you back. You retrace your steps in leaps and bounds. When you see your ship waiting, you suddenly feel terribly homesick. And you can't wait to get back to Earth. Take a last look at the moonscape. Get aboard, close the hatch, and pray that the computers will start. You push buttons, lights flicker, machinery whirls, rockets fire, your ship lifts off, your heart lifts too, but you have thousands of miles to travel, and you'll just have to be patient. Whenever you feel discouraged, look through your porthole. You'll see a beautiful sight, Earth surrounded by stars, shining like blue and white ball on a Christmas tree. And the nearer you get to Earth, the more wonderful Earth will seem. And finally, you are close enough to see the continents and the oceans. And you can see clouds and rain and wind moving across them, connecting everything on Earth. And as you look down at the oceans, you think of all the animals that live there, fish and whales and seals and turtles and dolphins and soaring seabirds and countless more. You can see the snow cap at the North Pole and imagine great white bears wandering over the ice floes. You can see the Earth's marvelous variety of green forests and grassy plains and mountains and lakes and deserts that are home to animals and plants and people too. Why is Earth so different from the moon? Earth has air and water on which all life depends, and without them, Earth would be as lifeless as the moon. Air and water are Earth's special blessings, and we must guard them well. Your trip is almost over. Your ship has reached the atmosphere. You drop down through clouds and land on green grass. You jump out, thankful for a miraculous journey and a safe return. And as you bend down to kiss the ground, you promise you will always do your best to protect all life on our beautiful Earth. And that, our dear friends, is... That's right. The end.
If you like the show, please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe. It really does help the show to grow. Thank you for listening.